Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of the Startup Hustle podcast. Today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. And we are very, very grateful for their sponsorship and their partnership and their awesomeness in helping entrepreneurs get software teams built. So today we have with us a hero within the Kansas City startup community. Our guest has been featured in many, many publications, you know, wins awards all the time. And it's because she's doing something really, really unique. She is an incredible founder, and she's a founder in a pretty male-dominated industry. And she is just writing checks and killing it and doing amazing things, all while being active in the community and, you know, just doing really cool stuff. So today we have with us Jai Mays. And Jai
Hi.
Jai is president and CEO of Mays Freight. Mays Freight is a woman-owned startup logistics company. And that is pretty rare from what I understand.
It is. Much respect.
But Jai, let's go ahead and hop right into it. Why don't you start? Just tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, kind of how you got here, and tell us about Mays Freight.
Okay, great. So I've been in supply chain for over a decade, and I started with a company called FreightQuote.com. Everyone's familiar with it. It's right there in Kansas City. It was kind of the cool kids club of Kansas City before C.H. Robinson took it over.
For sure.
And when I was there, you know, I started, I'm going to be honest, and I had uncles and some family who were in the trucking business, the asset part of it. And so they would go on the road, take long hauls. So I've been on the road. I've sat in a truck between Dallas and California. I've taken long, I've been in the truck stops where you've had to wear shower shoes just to take a shower because you don't want your feet to touch the pavement.
You gotta protect those feet, man.
Yeah, seriously, it's serious. I have been at the truck stops where I've seen many, many, many things go on. And so to be, crazy. It's crazy girl.
I don't even think we want to know, do we?
No, well, you know, if you want some views, no, I'm playing. But to be on the side of what's going on behind the scenes and who's controlling this, when I got with FreightQuote, I had no idea this even existed. And so I was on the outside looking in. I was thinking, oh, okay, owner ops or either trucking companies, they control their own freight. Never knew that there was logistics companies that was controlling freight and taking the pressure off of companies to find trucking to find drivers to move their loads. Why is it so crucial? Because some carriers will gouge the customers if they don't know what to do, if they don't know how to negotiate rates, if they don't know how to check load boards, or even if they don't know what to pay per mile. And also, some freight can be too low. And so some customers will say, I only want to pay $1.25 a mile, but you've got them driving through Aspen, through the mountains where there's snow and ice. I mean, who would do that for $1.25 a mile, right?
Right.
Risk your life. And so when I got with Freightquote, I saw what was going on behind the scenes, and I absolutely fell in love with it. And I said, oh my goodness, this is a tool where if I opened a business, because I'm gonna tell you, no one in our neighborhoods or our in my heritage or in my nation and where we grew up ever said, come be a freight broker. There's unlimited amounts of money.
Yeah.
It's a $1 trillion industry. And it can totally change your life. If we would have known that, we probably wouldn't be in the worst situations that we are now because of opportunities. So when I at Freightquote, and I did very, very well. Very well. I was always top 10 of the sales reps. And there's 700 reps.
Wow. Okay. Freightquote.
Yes. Majority male.
Sure.
There was some women, sweet. There's some badass women that are moving freight.
That's what we love to hear.
Yeah. But what I saw was an opportunity to better my neighborhood, to better the lives of people who don't even know it exists, people who are struggling, who have no idea that their negotiation skills and their love for clients and customer service and just the know-how, if I can teach them trucking, I teach them what a flatbed is, a dry van, a vessel, air freight. I mean, I can go on, rail. I can teach them all of that. They can make unlimited amounts of money, change their lives, get off warfare. I'm being honest.
Sure.
I did it. I was never on that, on warfare, but I have been at a low in my life. And when I found freight and I was able to do that and I was able to retain customers, able to grow my business, which we were in Freightquote, but I was able to grow the brokerage of what I was doing to $10 million a year.
Yeah.
Me alone. I said, okay, this is something that I need to introduce for women and for minorities. And not just for women and minorities, anyone. I mean, we have all types of agents of all, the walks of life. But that was my main thing, ushering in diversity. We don't know about this. It's just now, being broadcast because, I'm opening the way, I'm breaking down the barriers and thank God for that.
You're leading the charge, but you're hoping that others will follow.
Others will follow. And now, is it easy? No, when you start a company, this. It is not easy, even for what you do with Innovate Her. None of this is easy,
right?
But the grind is wonderful. The reward of being able to change lives when we do bring on new agents and we do bring on new staff. They love the camaraderie. They love the culture in the business. And they love the fact that I am willing and our team is willing to teach them everything they need to know to be successful. Even if it starts with a whiteboard and says, this is a truck, the whole world.
I mean, from the very point A all the way to point Z, that comprehensive learning lens, that is amazing. And I'll be honest, Jai, I mean, you and I have known each other for a while now.
Yes.
And I kind of knew what you were up to, but I hadn't really applied that lens to all of it. I mean, really, you are setting an example and you are creating an opportunity for women and minorities to talk a lot about building generational wealth, getting those good paying jobs that you didn't even know were out there. Didn't even know. That's amazing. And I love that.
My necklace keeps going up. I'm going to do this. Okay. So it does, I'm like, oh.
You look so beautiful though. I mean, I even said that before. You always do. But let's not have your necklace choke you. Let's not do that.
Here's the thing, Lauren. When you're in transportation, it's so broad. that once you're in it, it's hard to get out.
Right.
Transportation runs the world. Trade runs the world.
Absolutely.
Everything in your house, all your books, your cute bookshelves, your cute t-shirt, your microphone, your bracelet, your nail polish, all of it had to ship.
Yeah, that's true. Everything. I mean, you touch pretty much every industry, everything related to tangible goods. And and really what was interesting, I think, right around the start of the pandemic, you know, I feel like logistics and transportation is something, it's one of those kind of secret hidden fields. Like you don't really think about it unless something goes wrong. Right. Yeah. Because it's just, there's this quiet hum and it's happening in the background and that's the way it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to know that or notice that it's happening. But then when something goes wrong, and remember we had that supply chain issue with toilet paper.
Toilet paper.
And all kinds of other products, but toilet paper was like the huge one. That and antibacterial, like the hand sanitizer, and like antibacterial stuff. Yes. I remember going to the stores. And man, like everything had been cleaned out and, you know, because the supply chain system had, and the ordering system, procurement system, like people's ability to manufacture at the rate at which people were consuming, it broke down. It wasn't working.
No.
And so, you know, what you do is you prop up the whole world, but you do it quietly and you do it very humbly. And the only time we notice that it's happening is when something goes wrong.
Something is wrong. You find yourself going to Walmart or CVS saying, so when is the truck coming in? I mean, did they not deliver last night? I mean, can I wait for it to be unloaded? Usually you would never even think about going to the dock, asking the dock workers if you can wait for the truck to be unloaded just so you can get toilet paper. It means a big thing. It's a big deal.
Well, so I think I want to take a moment and I want to acknowledge that. And I want to bring it out into the light, the fact that you quietly do this amazingly important work. And I'm just going to applaud you for it. Thank you for powering our world.
I feel
like even going into this talk, like I was like, you know, she just doesn't get enough credit. Like, you know, none of these folks who are like in logistics and in supply chain, like none of them get enough credit because we only know that something's wrong and then we bitch about it. You know, but we're never like, people aren't like banging down your door and being like, hey, you know, I had toilet paper at my house last night and I want to say thank you. Right?
Yes. Look, supply chain is supplying everything. Needles for the vaccine. You know, just everything that you need to live your everyday life. Our job is to make sure the consumer and the people of America are very comfortable and have everything they need. Our job is to make sure the manufacturer's supplies gets to their vendor so they can keep building. Our job is to make sure all of the retailer's freight gets to the consumers. Our job is to make sure all of the, even just the parts, the raw materials that it takes just to make the product gets there so people can have what they need. And the thing that I love about it is once a person gets into it and we introduce our agents and we give them the job and we give them the lay of the land on what's ready to happen, they love it. They're making money and it's life changing and it will never cease. It will never, ever cease. Transportation, well, it can't cease.
It can't be a need for it. You know, I mean, until we can like, you know, in Star Trek, like you have the thing that can just create stuff out of thin air. Like until that day happens, we're never going to not need supply chain. And so I'm going to challenge all of our listeners at home. I want you to take a moment. And I want you to look around your house and I want you to look at your house and I want to look at look at everything that you're wearing. And I just want you to in your head, or if you know any personally, take a moment and thank a supply chain professional, whether that's a truck driver or, you know, a freight broker like Jai or, you know, somebody who's involved in this process of moving products and putting them in your hands. It is an easy, seamless process. There are a bunch of people who work together to make it happen, and we should all be very, very grateful because I love what you said about you make people comfortable. That is the end goal and the end result. And that is a beautiful thing. And I think it's sometimes something that we take for granted a little bit.
Maybe. It is. And, you know, these guys who are on the road, I mean, brokers, they work very hard. There's some brokers that, you know, agents that work for Main Street, they're up day and night because freight doesn't sleep. Okay. So it's a 24 hour, you know, even with what's going on with the vessels being stuck in the ocean, you know, consumers cannot get their freight right now. It's the supply chain system is still broken. And so brokers are on the phone day and night trying to find different resources for customers to be able to have and get what they need. And we have truck drivers who are driving all through the night, nonstop. Yeah. You know, we have team drives just to make sure the economy keeps going, just to make sure America is still running and great. We want a strong economy and we want our recovery to be strong. Supply chain is down right now, but it is going to make a huge comeback. Rail is even down. I mean, I've never seen rail this low since I've been in the industry. Even with Kansas City, the railroad in Kansas City selling off. It's just not as good as it used to be because of the pandemic. But I just want people to know these truck drivers and these brokers are working hard for America. They're working hard for you all to make sure everyone is comfortable. To make sure McDonald's has their burgers, to make sure McDonald's has their cups and straws.
Right.
They're working hard to make sure Walgreens has their Lysol.
Right.
And to make sure Walmart has their soap. Everything you can think of, we're working hard daily.
Well, so talk to us because I'm really curious. Like, I think that people hear the term supply chain, and I want to talk about what that really, really means before we dive a little bit more into Mace Freight. And so think about, like, what is the kind of start of the chain? So we have products, but products are made of parts.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I mean, you would kind of have to start. So you have like a manufacturer who's manufacturing.
You have a manufacturer.
Parts,
then... You have your raw materials. Let's build a car.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay? Let's talk about a car.
So we're going to build a new car.
Okay.
The car is going to need tires, rims, engine, all of the parts that go into the car. The manufacturer who's building the
glass.
They don't have all these parts. They're pulling parts from different vendors. Because there's bids. So the vendor would say, I'll supply the rims, I'll supply the tires, I'll supply the steering wheel, all for them to put this one car together. So all of those raw materials have to be brought in to this one facility.
Right.
Once it is produced, put together, that car is then hauled. Car haulers, you know, Super Dispatch, Beck.
Right. Yeah. Car haulers
take the product to the dealerships or either whatever dealership or where the cars are going.
Sure.
So there's freight coming in all directions just to build a product. Mm-hmm. And then there's freight going out. That manufacturer who's building it might produce another product that someone else needs. So there's inbound, outbound freight.
Yeah.
So we've got to make sure all of the parts get to the manufacturer so they can build the product. Then we've got to make sure that the product gets to the consumer.
Right. Okay.
So that's how that goes. Now, that's just here on the land. When you're talking full supply chain and trade, there are products that are imported.
Yeah.
From different countries. And we've got to make sure that that freight arrives safely on the ocean. Make sure it clears the ports. Make sure there's nothing, you know, seriously, the supply chain, you'd be surprised on what's hitting in the containers. People hide in there just to get away from their countries. Like it's crazy. I could tell you so many stories.
Oh my gosh. I think we might need to hear a story a little bit later, but continue.
So you got to get the freight on the ocean to the United States. Then we have to get it from the port. Then we have to take those parts to the facility where the manufacturer is, inspect the parts. If something is damaged, we have to then ship that freight back to the producer or the vendor. Oh, it gets crazy.
Oh, but I'm sure.
No one knows what's going on. All you know is you've got a brand new car.
Right.
Parks for you. Let's parks itself.
Because it's all about comfort, you know, let's make it easy. Comfort. All right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, that analogy where they talk about like the duck on the water, like everything on the surface looks super smooth and easy, but underneath the surface of the water, you got, yeah, exactly. You got those feet just going.
That's what's going on.
That's right. So that is crazy. You know, it's really, really impressive to think about. And so Maeve's Freight, like you're responsible for all of that.
All of that.
Making sure that runs smoothly, as smoothly as possible, because there are a lot of moving parts to manage.
Yes, it is.
And I know, you know, I think I've read enough articles and you and I have talked enough. And like, I know that Maeve's Freight, like one of the kind of market differentiators that you bring to the table is that commitment to service. Like, not only are we going to be competent and awesome in how we get this job done, but we're also going to bring an element, like that human element to it.
Yeah.
We're going to offer excellent service every single time. So talk to us a little bit about that. Like kind of what's your ethos as far as the way that you provide service when you're doing your work?
We serve the customer. We serve the agents. We serve Maeve's Freight. That is our leadership staff's motto. It's not even about us. It's about them. As supply chain over the years has gotten greedy, lack of care, you know, people have gotten very comfortable of not giving a shit. And so how is that going to help our economy if you don't give a shit when the customer's freight needs to be delivered on time because they have deadlines?
Right.
So everyone who comes in to Maeve's Freight, we test their give a crap level.
Yeah.
Because it has to be at the highest. And we put ourselves in the customer's shoes.
Yeah.
We rarely have late freight. Something has had to happen to where the freight is late. We have had no damaged freight. We have had no complaints from any of our customers.
Wow.
None. And so the reason why is we pay attention to detail. We put ourselves in the consumer's shoes. And we perform. We do what we say we're going to do. And we also make sure that they're getting value for their money.
Yeah.
And they're not getting gouged on their shipping rates. Are there a lot of freight brokers? Yes. Just like there's a lot of marketing companies. There's a lot of doctors. There's a lot of lawyers. There's no such thing as a saturated industry because there's 380 million people in the United States we have to service. 32 million companies we have to service. And none of that is including Canada and Mexico.
That is so many companies.
It's so many
companies. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So when you think about it, when people say saturated or there's no such thing because we need, you know how many law firms are just downtown Kansas City?
I don't know that number. Do you know that number?
I don't, but there's tons.
There's a ton.
Yes, there's tons.
For sure, yeah. Like I kind of wish I knew it, like a ballpark number on it, because I feel like
downtown Kansas City. That's not even including Midtown, Overland Park. I mean, everywhere. Independent attorneys, because we have to service America.
Right. But not everybody needs a lawyer, but everybody touches supply chain in their lives, like logistics companies.
Everyone.
Totally get that. Like, okay.
Needs
that,
supply chain.
That's right. So, okay. Well, so real quick, you know, we're talking about, you know, service and market differentiators, and I would be absolutely remiss if I didn't bring up today's episode sponsor, Fullscale.io. They are actually known for their amazing service that they offer their customers, and they are definitely key if you want to build a software team quickly and affordably. They are this episode sponsor, and we do absolutely adore them. We're very grateful for their partnership. If you want to learn more, you can check them out at Fullscale.io. But I'm really interested. I'm so intrigued by this conversation, Jai. Like, you're just opening up all kinds of things that I don't think people spend enough time thinking about. So one of the things that I want to ask you about is how you lead, because Maze Freight Solutions has a stellar reputation within the Kansas City area and beyond. Mm-hmm. And you personally also have a stellar reputation. So you have high expectations of your agents and you have high expectations of your employees and how they, interact with the world. You've talked about the fact that like people don't complain about your work because they know they're getting value for their money and you do a good job. So how does Jai inspire that in your team? Because you're a phenomenal leader, and I want to figure out your secret sauce.
Well, here's the thing. You pay your people well.
Yeah.
For one, you treat them like adults.
Yeah.
Two, and you lead by example. Three.
Okay.
That's what we do. I lead by example. They've never seen me talk out of terms with a customer. They've seen me talk out of terms with a truck driver. They've seen that. Yeah, because you better get your ass there and get to that dock and deliver that freight. That's right. How that goes. But I make sure that we have the highest customer service for our customers. And that's how we retain them. They don't go anywhere. Matter of fact, they refer, and the referral says, if you get with Maze Freight, they won't let you down. They're very reliable and you won't even have to worry about your freight. You can just turn the whole operation over to them. That's how we operate. But I lead by example. I don't take crap. I don't, because I don't have time. If you're an adult, I don't have time to babysit that. You know what you're supposed to do. You know how you're supposed to make money, and you know what you want your future to look like. And if you want a crappy future, then this is not the place for you. But if you want to change your life, make a good living, make a legacy for yourself, be known in the transportation industry and be the go-to for the truck drivers and be the go-to for customers, then you better get, stand up straight, talk to that customer like you've got some sense. You treat others how you want to be treated. And that's how we operate. I don't take bull crap. I will cut it fast. Because when you have an employee or an agent who doesn't give a crap about your company or they won't give a crap about your customer. And that's a sure way to lose a customer. So we make sure every customer knows that we care about their freight. We care about we want to increase their bottom line. So we make sure that they're not getting gouged. We make sure they're paying fair market rates to increase their bottom line, to keep their business going. If their business shuts down, then we don't have a customer. So that's how we pride ourselves. So I lead by example. The leadership team leads by our example. We're no nonsense, but we're a family and we have the best fun. We have fun.
Ooh, talk to me a little bit about that. Like, I don't think I've heard about that part before. I'm interested.
We have a lot of fun. So we have our May 3 happy hour show that we do and we drink. And I do. I like to have some wine. And you know this. I like to have wine and camaraderie. But, we have contests for the agents. And then we give gift cards for the agents. We might take them out for drinks. COVID has kind of put up in that. So
everybody.
But we make sure every agent knows that they feel appreciated and that they know that they're valued at Maze Freight. We make sure of that. And so there's a lot, when we're all in the office, there's a lot of laughs because everyone is silly. We're all silly. There's music when we're in the office. Everyone is having fun. We make sure that the culture is just fun to where they want to come to work. We make it a place that they want to come, not dread to come.
Right.
So when they they're going to give it their all.
What is striking me right now, this is actually, so you're saying a lot of really fantastic things. Like, you create a culture of accountability, you have high expectations, but you also reward people and compensate people, and you care about your people. And like, those are all beautiful, wonderful things. But what you're not saying, what I'm seeing, is how passionate you get about that. Like, you just got super animated talking about, the team, like, make it, like, this is what we do with our team. And I think that that's really powerful as well. Like, if you bring that level of passion to your employees every day, like that, I am positive that's probably a lot of what they're responding to. Like,
yeah,
you're like, man, I really care about these people. Like, the energy in your voice was just amazing to watch. And for those of you who are listening, she also got very like animated in her body, like talking with her hands and like, you know, and so I love that because you just got really excited talking about some really awesome stuff with your people. So I just wanted to note that really quickly.
Thank you. What you say
and what you do are in perfect alignment
Hey, you know what? Your employees and your staff and your agents, they're who's running the company. You know, they're the ones who are talking to the customers. So if they're happy, the company's happy. If the company's happy, the customer's happy. And that's just how we roll, baby.
And that's amazing. That's a strong company culture. And that's, I am quite positive that that is why you are as successful as you are, because you are very intentional about creating that kind of culture. Results-driven, high reward kind of culture.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So tell me about it. Like we were talking about, you know, your successes and the things that you deeply care about. And I love that. But I want to ask you, tell me about a time when, you know, you failed. And because I think one of the things that really strong leaders do, so I'm sure that you've done this, you know, you're able to take a failure and turn it into a learning opportunity or an opportunity to get better, to, you know, move forward. And so I'm really curious about that, because I think it's important to talk about, like, yeah, let's talk about the successes, but let's also talk about the shitty parts of being an entrepreneur. Like, it's hard, you know?
Oh, it's very hard. Article that I just did with Startland, and I got deep and I got raw, you know, and some may think, John, you didn't have to say all the things that you said, but I want people to really know what this is and how passionate I am, and that my husband and I and our leadership team are okay with taking sacrifices to make sure Maize Freight does not fail. So. Right. You know, in the beginning, when we first got started, because of my great reputation and because of how I do operate, I grew fast. I grew extremely fast, but I was not ready for the growth. Okay. And when you're the new kid on the block in logistics and supply chain, everything has to be paid up front. So you have to have capital to pay your drivers up front. There's no terms being given because they don't know you. Who are you? And there's so much greed and theft that goes on in supply chain. Everyone's guard is up. You understand? Yeah. So when I had to pay up front and I had to wait 30 days for the customer to pay their invoice, there were a few that did not pay.
Right.
And I lost two major customers. One of them, there's another customer who just, I don't know what happened. I mean, we've got so many stories. Either they went through a merger or they shut down. I don't know. But I was left with an $80,000 bill. Yeah.
Ouch.
And when they called me, because I had started to establish terms, because I paid up front so much, the carrier's like, you know what? We're on terms. This is good. You guys are good to go. And so we had moved a lot of freight in the last, I think it was about 3 months. And man, we were moving. I mean, girl, when I tell you I was banging. Okay.
Yeah.
And then that customer went away because of a merger. So two major, they say it was a merger. Okay. They say it was a merger. $80,000. I don't know if you know.
You had to eat that?
No. Yeah, I had to eat it and I had to pay out of it.
I am so sad. That is so sad.
Yeah. So I had to get on a payment plan. I don't know if you know Jill Hathaway from Scale Up. Mm-hmm. Beautiful lady inside and out. Yeah. She took me back to what I used to do when I didn't have money. You know, you get on the phone with the light bill company. Listen, I know the bill is $300, but can I put something on it? You understand?
Right.
So I had to go back to that. And she taught me how to dig myself out of this hole. And we dug ourselves out of an $80,000 hole to zero. Zero wow. debt.
How long did that take? If you don't mind my asking,
it took me a year. Whew. Because Ooh. I had to rebuild. Also, I had to rebuild the clientele, and that right there is a learning lesson that you don't put all your eggs in one basket. You have to diversify yeah. your customers. But when you're the new kid on the block and you're just getting started, one customer can change your life. And we all know that. I mean, if you have a storefront and you have a repeat customer, that customer's feeding you. That's the one that's feeding you. Even though you want all the other customers to come in, but when you've got that one customer's feeding you, you know, if anything happens, then you're left in a bad situation. And right. that's what happened to us. We were left in a bad situation, and I had to dig myself out of that hole. It, you know, took a year, $80,000, but Mace Freight is still standing.
Yeah.
You know, we Mace Freight did not have to file bankruptcy, anything.
Yeah.
We're still standing. We're still in good standing with all of our vendors and our carriers, and we rebuilt, and now, baby, we're soaring, and God is good.
That is amazing. And I got to tell you, like, that, you know, you're such an example of like the true entrepreneurial spirit. Like, not only do I have these great ideas, but I also, yeah, I feel like you just have this kind of innate ability to, I'm going to just power through. Like that challenge right there is not something that's going to stop me. It's something that I am going to overcome.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that I let, like, true entrepreneurial spirits, like, no matter what life is going to throw at you, because I mean, you couldn't control any of that. And yet you were still able to, you know, with a little bit of help and a little bit of guidance, but you were still able to take that very, like, that humbling experience, mm-hmm. learn from it, do the right thing, you know, mm-hmm. and solve the problem, even though yeah. it took a year.
It took a year for me to pay $80,000 debt, because I had to pay an $80,000 debt on top of operating expenses, on top of commissions, on top of hourly salary, you know, all of that. And on top of also making sure we eat here. But my right. husband and I, we made a total sacrifice. It wasn't about us, and it's not about us. We never yeah. leave a vendor hanging. We never leave anyone. We don't owe anyone. That's a wonderful thing, you know, yeah. and we've had to bootstrap this because I was never given a line of credit. You know, I went to different right. banks and was never able to get it. So we've had to bootstrap this the entire way, self-funded. But I love the reward of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. You if know, you're not going to go through it, what's the point of being an entrepreneur? Look at Jack Ma.
Yeah.
You know, Tyler Perry slept in his car.
I have to tell you, so this episode is titled Navigating the Supply Chain Sector, but I feel like it should be called something infinitely more badass, like something like Overcoming All Obstacles and Being yeah. Amazing. And I'm just like, in my head, I'm running through like other episode titles because you've been an example to me for years. Wow. You've been an example to the community. Like, I mean, I remember you do that coat drive every year, and like, you're just so involved in the, yeah. in the community beyond being a badass female Black founder in an industry where you don't often see that. And you know, you're achieving so much, and you're doing so much, and you're helping so many people. Like, it's amazing. So I'm going to ask you this question. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked several times about, you know, transportation, logistics, supply chain, being an avenue to success for a lot of people. So for the folks listening at home, what would be your advice to them if they are interested in embarking on a career? I mean, other than coming to work for Mace Freight, because I feel like everybody should want to work for Mace Freight. But beyond that, like, if somebody's looking to create a pathway to financial independence, you know, join an industry that will never go out of style, as far as we can tell. What would you tell them?
I would tell them to buy my book.
Yes. Okay. All right. Let's hear about that.
You have that book. I actually gave you that.
I do have that book. I think it's, it might be in another
Don't worry about it. It's a fun read. It's quick. You put it up, and then when you need some, you know, quick encouragement, you open it up.
Was it Finding Your Toddler Ambition?
Finding Your Toddler Ambition and a Different Approach to Entrepreneurship. And why we came up with that and why I came up with that title is because, you know, toddlers never give up.
Right.
If they want anything, they're excellent salesmen, aren't they? They're excellent salespeople. They will bug you until you give it to them. And so one thing I like about toddlers is they have no fear.
Right.
They're going to climb the tree. They're going to get, they're going to try to ride their bike, and they may fall many, many, many times, but it doesn't matter. They're going to get back up, and they're going to get back up until they ride the bike.
Yeah.
Right. They're going to jump in the pool. They want to do it without floaties. I learned that with my nephew. He was four. We went to the pool. He had floaties on, never swam in his life, but he went straight to the deep end and jumped in. With no fear.
And of course, we're like standing there like, oh, God, I'm sure.
Oh, my goodness. This is something here. Yeah. My son climbing the tree with no fear. Even when toddlers get up to walk, everyone around them is walking. They're walking. But they're crawling. And they're like, no, you know what? I've got to get up to walk. So it's a praise thing when you see a toddler walk for the first time. Oh my goodness. When you see a child walk for the first time, everyone in the room lights up, right? Oh my God, they're walking. It doesn't matter how many times they have fallen. They're determined to walk. And so I want to tell you
that was beautiful.
That's what it's about. It's about finding that ambition and that don't give up. It's going to be hard. You're going to have pitfalls. You know, there are going to be things that happen. There's going to be obstacles that come. But if you have a dream and you have something that you want to achieve, if you are quick to give up, you'll never achieve it.
Right.
You will never achieve it because nothing comes easy.
Yeah.
So don't give up and pull the trigger. Don't think about it and sit on it and say, well, I will when it's time. There's never a perfect time. Never a perfect time. You just have to jump in.
Don't get lost in that analysis paralysis that we adults get into. Yeah.
Because you'll never do it. You'll never go.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, so I have one final question for you, and I'm going to be honest. I'm kind of making it up in my head right now, but I'm going to ask you the human question. And you know what I'm going to ask you? I want to, because you're such a hero to me. I'm going to ask you, who's your hero?
Who is my hero? Okay. So I have three. Okay.
Okay.
I've got three. I have the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31.
Okay.
Because if people read about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, she was a wife, a mother, she was an entrepreneur, she was a hustler, okay? So if you read Proverbs 31, she didn't talk bad about anyone. She was very sweet at the voice. Her husband and her children called her blessed. She made clothes. She went out to sell them to the merchants. She went out to gather food for her family. She was a wife, a mother, she was a mentor, and she was a hustler and an entrepreneur. One.
Yeah. Okay.
Two, my husband. Because
your husband's pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. So cool,
and he doesn't worry about anything. Like if the building was burning, he'd say, all right, everyone get out. But anything that's inside, it's okay. We can replace it. I've never seen him freak out about anything. He is the most faith walking individual I've ever met in my life. So I feed off of that. And when I'm in a frenzy, like, oh my God, what are we going to do? He's like, give it to God. He'll take care of it. That's him.
Yeah. Well, and it is not easy being a spouse to an entrepreneur. Like I can tell you, like from my personal experience, like my poor partner, like I just feel so bad for him. But you know, yeah, Gerald definitely handles it with some grace.
He does.
He's such a fun guy. But that's two.
Okay.
Who's number three?
Madam CJ Walker.
Ooh, excellent. That's a great one too.
Yeah. Because she was thick in segregation. Okay.
Sure.
A pandemic, a woman, a black woman, and she was able to rise to the level that she rose.
Yeah.
She was like that toddler ambition. She never gave up. She never, ever, ever gave up. Even when the men were against her, she didn't give up. Even when the different color was against her, she didn't give up. And she built an empire that is still talked about to this day.
Yeah. Did you watch that special that Netflix has? It was really fantastic. Highly recommend to watch to anybody. But yeah, okay. Those are three amazing heroes.
Yeah.
And since I don't really know how to follow that, because that was awesome. I loved hearing that. I'm just gonna go ahead and say thank you, Jai, for taking the time to chat with us. And I love talking to you. You always energize me.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're just such a light, you know, you're just a light.
I appreciate that.
So thank you for that. And then we also want to thank Full Scale, today's episode sponsor. If you are looking to build a software team and you don't have the capacity and you don't have the resources, Full Scale is going to be the team who's going to help you get it done. And we're very grateful for their partnership. Check them out at fullscale.io. Would also invite you to check out the Startup Hustle TV stuff that we've got going on. We've had some really interesting episodes, and you can check that out on the Startup Hustle YouTube channel. Thank you, listeners, for taking the time to be with us today, listen to, learn all about supply chain. And again, I'm just going to reiterate, let's all take a moment to be very grateful for all of the stuff that we have. Thanks, you know, thank people like Jai, because it's the reason we're so comfortable. We will catch you again next episode. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Sounds good. Thank you all for having me. And if anyone out there needs freight moved, got freight, we're your solution. Right. MaysFreightSolutions.com.
MaysFreightSolutions.com. You got it. Yep. All right. Have a good one, and we'll catch you next episode.
Bye.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.